All right, please be seated. God bless you. Wonderful to be together with the saints this morning. I tell you, those manifestations really hit the spot. They were encouraging you exactly what I want to share with you in many ways. So God always works things out, huh? He always blends everything we do with the songs, the photographs. Everything is just God's in the middle of it. Praise the Lord, huh? Amen. Well, there's a verse in the Bible that just blows my mind. And every time I look at this verse, it's just so awesome, so spectacular, phenomenal verse. And not to say that all the other scriptures in God's word is not, is good or not good. They're all tremendous. But this one, man, oh man, takes my breath away. And I think about this because, when I was a teenager, a young person, not too long ago, I was hungry. I was really... In the depth of my heart, I was distraught because I wanted to know the truth. I wanted to know, was there a God or not a God? And if there was, what's his will for me? What's his purpose? What's the meaning of life? Some pretty hard questions that I think each and every individual on the face of the earth thinks about or confesses. Well, this verse challenged my heart big time. It opened up an appreciation that God wants me and every other believer to experience success in their life. Now this verse is Ephesians 1:18. And it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's quite a mind picture, right? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The word understanding really in the text, and most of you probably have this in your different translations, it's the word heart, right? The word heart. King James says understanding, but it's the Greek word heart. So the eyes of your heart, okay, get it, see your heart with eyes on it, okay? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may guess, speculate, no, that you may know, what is the hope of his calling. That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You ever think about, I wonder what my inheritance is of Grandpa Joe or something like this, Hey, we know our inheritance in the Lord. Pretty wild. Do you see what I'm saying here with this verse? That God wants us to know the hope of his calling and what this riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. Man, oh man. So this gets me thinking, what have I been called to? What is the hope of my calling? And can I experience it? Can I be it? Can I experience godly success? Wow. So I've titled this teaching, Our Calling to Success. We lost it, but you've seen it, right? And you picture me surfing in the tube there? Someday. Yeah. So, yeah, our calling to godly success. Do you want success in your life? You want God in your life? You want him to call you to be successful? I hope you're going like this. Now, you're not going like that, but in your hearts or minds, maybe you are. I hope so. Yeah, as people, we aspire to know, what is life about? How do you succeed in life? What's it all about? As believers born again of God's Spirit, we're born of incorruptible seed. I like the story Al was sharing, right, about the seeds. Hey, our seed, when you're born again of God's Spirit, is incorruptible. It's perfect. It's the Spirit of God, isn't it? Man, oh man, I was thinking about that when he shared that story. But what is our purpose in God's eyes? Do you have a purpose in life? How about what God has purposed you in life? I'm thankful when I was 20 years old, God opened the door for me to understand and appreciate his word so that I could have some answers to these questions about life, about who God was, what's truth, how can I succeed in life with God Almighty. I found what I had been looking for, that I have been called by God and experience his success. So my desire today is to share with you some of the basic truths on your calling, God's calling in your life to succeed. There's another verse that's just a mind blower. We're going to 2 Timothy, if you'd like to join me there. 2 Timothy 1:9. 2 Timothy 1:9 starts out, "Who hath saved us and called us with what kind of a calling? A holy calling." All right? All right, we found it. A holy calling. He saved us from eternal death. He called us with a holy calling. You know, some people have called me some weird names and not so good names, right? Man, oh man, you know, my drill sergeant, I don't know why he didn't like me, but he called me all kinds of names. Ay, ay, ay. God called us with a holy calling. A holy calling. Because of what I did? No, let's read the scriptures. Not according to our works. It wasn't about what I did or do, but it's what he did through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's according to what? His own purpose and grace. He has a purpose for you, and it's all about grace. Now, I'm glad you're seated, because I want to share the last part of this verse. And if you weren't seated, you might kind of go, oh my gosh, because this is so phenomenal what's left in this verse. What does it say? Which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that phenomenal? You and I were in his plans way back when, before the world began. I didn't write the book. There it is. It's been there for thousands of years. Woo! Do you have something to get excited about in your life? Do you have a connection with God Almighty? He's called you with a holy calling. He saved you. He's given you a purpose. Not according to what we do, thank goodness, but according to his own purpose and grace. And he did this before the world began. You know, he was doing this. Okay, we got to make a world here. We got to have giraffes and elephants and all these funny looking critters. But you know what? Most important is my family, my believers. Yeah. Daniel, Al, Jeannie, all of you. Yes. I got a purpose for them. I'm going to have a people that I'm going to call out, and they're going to have a wonderful purpose in their life because I'm going to work it in their hearts. Wow. God purposed you. He saved you with a holy calling before the world began. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 that we were bought with a price. What was that price? What was the price that God paid for us? The Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. God loved us so much, he gave his Son to die for us. Yeah, man, oh man. You can't have a more precious price than that. But God loves us so much, doesn't he? It says, you're not your own. Why? You don't belong to yourself. Why? Because he bought you. God bought you through his son, and you belong to him forevermore. Can life get any better than that? Oh my gosh. Oh, this is too good. Too good. Well, there's some more good scriptures here. Let's take a look at 2 Thessalonians 1:11. You know, what is our response to this? I think you're a little happy about this. You know, you're kind of excited. Woo! How important is this? How worthy are you for this mighty calling? Well, 2 Thessalonians 1:11. To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. He wants you to walk worthy of his calling. He wants to fulfill you with all his goodness, all the wonderful works of faith. Again, I could dance, I can yell and scream, and we should have balloons coming down, because this is so exciting, so thrilling, so real as well. So how are we going to succeed in life? What is success anyway? You know, in today's culture, what is success? Oh, I don't have my wallet with me, but if I had... No, that's all right. Oh, you're going to give me your wallet? Well, maybe I'll take it. But what is success?
Money.
If you have a lot of money, you are considered successful. If you have a great job and you're the CEO, you're successful, right? If you can ski down a mountain around these poles very quickly and get a gold medal, you're the most successful person on the face of the earth. If you hit a little black disc into a little net where this big guy is standing and you get it by him, you're successful. They'll pay you millions of dollars. Our world has all kinds of judgments of what is successful, right? But where do we want to go for our definition of success? Yeah. What is God's success? You know, we get excited about the Olympics, and I enjoy watching that and seeing the drive that these athletes have and their dedication and commitment to get a little gold medal or a bronze medal or whatever they can get. And of course, they have these nicknames for them, these star athletes. You know, they're animals out there, or they're superstars, right? Now, they're even attributing successful athletes to God, being God-like. In the Olympics, that skater, he is the quad god. I don't know if you caught that or not. They call him the quad god. He's the only one that can do this particular maneuver. So they attribute God to him. Pretty. They can't go any higher. Isn't that wild? That's where people are going these days. There's a basketball player, Chris Paul. He's a point guard. And you know what his nickname is? Point God. Yeah, he's the point god, because he's supposedly the best. Oh, yeah, yeah. The crazy world we live in, right? Yeah. You know, success is measured by the recognition of what people say success is. If I was in a motorcycle gang, let's say we're all in this motorcycle gang together. We got our leather jackets on and everything, and we're drinking beer and listening to country music. We got an American flag on our jacket. So if I come in there and say, hey, I just won the stock market. I made a bunch of money. Everybody say, oh, no big deal. Oh, I skied down a hill very quickly. Well, good for you. What's success to them? Hey, I just bought a new Harley Davidson bike. Really? Oh my gosh, let's go look at it. That's success. So it's how you look at it, isn't it? It's how you look at it. I wonder how God looks at success. What's success in the eyes of God? Well, in the Bible days, in Bible times in the Old Testament especially, people were very religious, right? And you know who the most successful people considered to be the most successful people back in the Old Testament days? The Pharisees. Oh my, yes. The Pharisees were top dogs. Let me read some scripture about this. Matthew 23, if you want to join me, 5 and 7. It says here, Matthew 23, 5. It's talking about the Pharisees. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their philatrices. Who knows what that word is? It's a little, they're little square things, philatrices. And they're little square things, and you have scripture and sayings on there. So they're covered with these things. It's all show, yeah. And enlarge the borders of their garments. And love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues. And greetings in the markets. And they love to be called Rabbi, Rabbi. This is the world in the Bible times. The Pharisees being successful. Now what's being successful in God's eyes? Very different. Matthew 6, let's take a look. What is success in God's eyes? 6:2, we'll start in verse 2 of Matthew. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand's doing. That thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee how? Openly. Yeah. So as far as he sees, you know, when we do good deeds for our Heavenly Father, we don't show off. We don't have to. God knows. He sees it. We do it secretly. And God rewards us. It's like, you know, it's kind of like abundant sharing. We don't make a big deal out of abundant sharing where people, we pass things around. There's a horn back there and people put money in there and they send us money and stuff. And it's just done, you know, secretly or personally. But God rewards that back. Big time, doesn't he? He does so. The giving of the saints, God really does. Okay, verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Yeah. You know, we have those special times with our Heavenly Father where it's He and I, you and Him. And God blesses us back openly. Pretty neat. The Pharisees had their garments all glittered up with stuff to show off. We don't do that. You know, in our culture, people wear certain clothes to show off. Or maybe they don't wear much clothes at all to show off. I don't know. Yeah. How do we in our times pursue success, especially for our Heavenly Father? How do we pursue success? Let's take a look at Philippians 3:14. If you want to pursue success with God, this is a good verse. 3:14 in Philippians says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling. God has called us, so we live that calling. We are that calling, so we live that calling. That's what we do. It's an interesting story. Jesus Christ talks to his disciples. You probably remember the story about the disciples talking with Jesus, and they know he's going to be gone pretty soon, so they're kind of saying, who's next? Who's going to be the greatest? So this is how he handled that situation. Luke 22, you want to join me, 24. Luke 22, verse 24. And there was also a strife among them, these are the disciples, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. Verse 26, but you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief as he that does what? Serve. There we go. We're hitting on the key word here, serve. Verse 27, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? Ah, but I am among you as he that serveth. Yeah. Very different from what people recognize today as the standard of success, huh? Service to others really count. What we do in service to bless our family believers and anybody and everybody counts. That's success. That's true success. Service with love. Selfless service is the key to fulfilling success in your life. Jesus taught it. He exemplified it. He lived it. He was the perfect servant, wasn't he? Who washed the disciples' feet? Jesus did. Did Jesus have great ability? Could he have done anything he wanted to in the worldly sense of success? Yeah. Jesus could. He could have been the best swimmer on the Olympics. You know why? He'd run across the pool. He didn't have to swim. He'd just run right across and win right away. He could have done that. He could have got a bunch of gold medals. What about being a CEO? He could have been a CEO of a food service company. Why? Because he fed thousands with just a little basket of food. How successful is that? So, yeah, he could have. But his heart was service. And what was the ultimate service that he did? He gave his life for you and I. Wow. He did so we don't have to give our life. We don't have to sacrifice our life. Our sacrifice, if you want to call it sacrifice, is the joy and rejoicing of doing the works that God has called us to do, to fulfill God's purpose in our life. God has something for each and every one of us to do in the family of God. Talk to him about it. And then what are you going to do? Do it. Then you do it. Oh my gosh. You know, today we see where we just laud people that climb every mountain, that travel the world, that makes lots of money, that has experienced everything in the world. Oh my gosh, they're so successful. I wish I could do that. You ever read Ecclesiastes? What did that guy try to do? Everything. He tried to do everything. What was his response to trying to do everything? All vanity, emptiness. really didn't count. What was the final conclusion? Reverence God and keep his word, basically. Yeah. Love him, reverence him, and do his word, keep his word. Yeah. I'm going to close here pretty soon. Let me read a few more scriptures, though. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth unto those things which are before. Man, that's a nice message, huh? You know, we all have a past. Do you want to live in the past? I don't think so. Let's put the past behind us and reach forth. And it's a new day every day. You know, sometimes I think about my service to God, and I really didn't do anything for him until I was 20 years old. You know, and why didn't you know the word when you were 12 or 13 or 14? You could have done more. Hey, it's past, right? It's gone. Yesterday is even gone. So the excitement of what I can do for him tomorrow is what I want to focus on. All right. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. We read this before, for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Verse 20. We jump down to verse 20. For our conversation, and the Greek word is citizenship, our citizenship, our manner of living is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able also to subdue all things unto himself. Pretty good. Philippians 2:13. Some good stuff in Philippians, huh? 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to what? To will and to do of whose pleasure? His pleasure. Now, oh man, I like to surf. I don't know if God likes surfing, so that's no fun. Hey, the most pleasurable thing that you and I will ever do is to do God's will. Do what he's called us to do. Does he care we go surfing or skateboarding or whatever we do in this crazy world? But boy, when we serve God's people, when we love on God's people, he likes that, I think. I think he's purposed us to do that, to take care of each other in the one body of Christ. Yeah. Do all things. Complaining and being upset. No, do all things without murmurings and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, what? Sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in this world. We get to shine as lights in this world. What a privilege. Whenever you speak the word, whenever you reach out to people with the love of God, you are a light. You are a beacon. And it makes a difference. It makes a huge difference. On Agape Outreach, in the Transit Center in Old Town, we've seen people over and over again. And when they come by and they see us again, they have this big old smile. They're just so blessed. And if that's all we can do, it's a start. It's still light. And I'm thankful we can do that. Yeah. So we want to be harmless and blameless as sons of God, right? We want to shine as lights. How can I shine as lights in this world? We could come up with some great ideas on that. But maybe we should read the next verse. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know, you can't miss when you hold forth God's word, right? The word of life. You can't miss in God's eyes of being successful. Really. You know, Olympians celebrate, having a gold medal, right? I don't know if you saw the State of the Union or not, but who was there with their gold medals? Yeah, the men's hockey team, they were just so proud, and they got to visit the president and everything, so they're just blessed, and that's their reward. What about us? What's our celebration? We get our rewards before the Heavenly Father where? At the Bema. At the Bema. The world celebrates, their celebrations can't compare to what we celebrate when we go before our Heavenly Father at the Bema, the place of rewards, and get blessed with all the good that we've done. All the good that we've done. He's not going to do anything about the junk we did, but all the good that we do, we get rewards for that. Eternal rewards. Wow. So there's a verse I want you to remember, especially the last part of it. This is my last verse, I promise. For brethren, you've been, this is Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Use not liberty for the occasion of the flesh, but by what? Love, serve one another. That's it. By love, serve one another. By what? Love, serve one another. We don't need to measure our success from worldly standards, but with God's word standards, right? We serve others with the love of God. We hold forth His living word, which is the height of Christian accomplishments. We serve each other with the love of God. We stand far above worldly accomplishments when we do so. So here's my exhortation. Let us rise up to our calling in Christ, right? And respond accordingly to loving each other and the body of Christ with the love of God and holding forth the words of life. That, ladies and gentlemen, is our calling to success. Amen? Amen. Okay, Father, thank you for calling us to have purpose in our life, that we can have great success because of you setting it all up in the beginning. So we're just in awe of how you care for us, what you plan for each and every one of us. What a privilege to know this, Father. So we love you and thank you that we can be our best for you. And I pray for your people here that they have that great heart of service. They're so wonderful, so loving and caring, that just bless them big time, Father, because they're the best. And I pray for the excitement of the days ahead when Christ will come back. And until then, we have the privilege to love on each other and hold forth the words of life. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah.
Well, that's fellowship. We've got refreshments being served up in the back. And bless you all for being here this morning. And I trust that this hits home. Okay, so we're all successful in God's eyes. Amen?
Amen. All right.